The mighty Arsenal takeout. Real Madrid shocked home and away. Two wins. Of course, that's what we talk about for almost all of the first segment.
And in the second segment, we go over all the other Champions League matches. Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, Aston Villa against PSG, Barcelona, Dortmund. We figure out who's going to win. We ask the supercomputer who to give their predictions as well.
The Cooligan supercomputer.
And we got Rapido reactions to round it all out. So all this and more today on the Cooligans.
Okay, so it was wifey's birthday this past weekend, you know?
Yes, it was.
You gotta do it up big.
Well, yeah, you talked about the covering the cake.
Yeah, I messed up.
Okay.
But here's what happened post-birthday is I was talking to wifey and she was like, right immediately after, she goes, I hope people had a good time. And I'm like, of course, everyone had a great time. Yeah. And like the next day, she's like, Do you think people had a good time? I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, what are you talking about? You know, it's like making eggs or something, right? Maybe a couple hours after that, we're at dinner, you know? And she's like, I just hope people had a good time. I was like, what the hell's the problem? Did you not have a good time? You know? Yeah, like, bring, like, explain to me.
The self-consciousness.
It's not self-conscious. It's like, this is the same reason she became a nurse. It's because she's always worried about how someone else feels. You know what I mean?
An empath, as they say. Sure, yeah.
Right? And I am the path. I got just the path.
You're the socio of the path.
Yeah. We switched the M with the socio. I'm like, I've never left the party. I've like immediate after, yo, man, I hope everyone had a good time. And this happens to comedians. Like sometimes people come up to you after a show. Or like if you have a headline, you wait to the side and people come up. And my immediate question is, yo, did you have a good time? Because I really don't know what else to say to you. You know everything about me. I don't know who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm leaving the city in 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to know you. You know what I mean? But like, you want to have a conversation with them. You want to feel like you have a conversation. So my immediate question is, yo, did you have a good time? And most of the time it works, you know, except at the roast, that one person who did not have a good time and they let me know. And I'm like, you know, I should switch up the question I asked. But
I did not ask that question. But
I always go, oh, do you have a good time? Because then they go, yeah. And it's like, now, if you're uncomfortable talking to me, at least we already had an exchange, and then you could follow that up with whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people feel uncomfortable, like, what do I say to this person I just saw on stage or the person I'm here to see? So I'm like, I'll break the ice for you. I've never once really thought, like, much after a show, man, I hope that audience had a good time. It's like an immediate thing. I never think after. Like, have you ever thrown a party or had a party for yourself and said, like, yo, let's have a get-together, and then, like, 2 days later be like, damn, yo, did Steve have a good time? I need to call Steve, bro. I've never thought that before.
No, I think it's a, I mean, but when we compare it to, like, comedy, I've definitely done a show, and even if the show went okay, mm-hmm. part of me was like, man, I think I should have done this, or I could have done better.
But that's
here.
You talking about your own act.
Right, right.
Not like, man, if I was sitting in the third row, did I have a good one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I think it's something where, you know, you want people to be happy with the thing that you gave them or you invited them somewhere.
Yeah, but like comedy and your birthday is kind of the same, where it's like, I'm setting up a party for me. Right? Like, I'm letting y'all into what I find enjoyable.
Yes, yes.
And if you don't have a good time, that's on you. You're here to celebrate me, so you should have had a good time. If I'm having a good time, then you should have a good time.
Look, I don't disagree with you.
I've never set up a birthday party for myself and think, let's do something everybody wants to do.
But like, some people are like that. Some people...
My wife.
care more about how, you know, how everybody else, how good of a time everyone else had, that they forget to have a good time.
That's like a real Nona thing, like a Latin grandma making a bunch of food, and then they sit down to eat when all the food's cold. You know what I mean?
they make that sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it. You know,
on a scale of socio to M, where are you? I'm much closer to, I'm probably in the middle, because I don't think of myself as like, of course you're going to have a good time. I'm here. I assume some people may not enjoy the things I enjoy.
Sure.
And I would probably do something that's a little bit more generic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit more like, we'll get them next time, kid. You know what I mean? Like, hey, just you got to, if you tried your best.
Yeah.
And on the next game, you'll hit that shot.
You are very like, hey, it didn't work out for you. You would have been, you know, the coach from the Bad News Bears before they become the Bad News Bears. You would have been good for that.
Because why be stuck and enjoy your life? That's my philosophy.
Carter, where you sit in this whole spectrum?
I mean, if I'm hosting an event, I want people to have a good time, but I'm not thinking about it days after it's over.
Same, bro. Yeah. No. What I've learned from the two conversations about Maui's birthday is that dudes have a very specific way of thinking and ladies are very different, because I heard a lot more, yo, you got to take the cake out of the box. You gotta yeah. take, but it's all ladies.
To make it even more maybe relatable, even in an internet sense, this is like another thing with people, content creators. And yeah. I talk to content creators all the time. And even we were at the FIFA, the World Cup poster yeah. thing. And I was getting to conversation about like views and whatever. And it's just like, this can't be the convo. Just some stuff doesn't Christian, get views.
Christian, we've literally had this conversation. This is the conversation.
I'm just saying, it's just like, but the conversation will never, ever, ever literally end.
Yeah.
So that's why you just have to keep, you just got to keep going.
All right, but that's the same as comedy, right? There's no thing like, I've made it.
Exactly.
There's nothing. There's no brass ring. It's just you have to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about it. I don't think content creators know that, because some of them start do one video and they're like, hey, I'm gonna whatever, and yeah. they pop off and they're like, this is the world.
Exactly.
And they don't get it. In comedy, you learn after many, many failures. Okay, the world is getting a little bit better and better and better and better in progress. Correct. Forever. Yeah.
All right. So all right.
Oh, just like this show, folks.
Okay. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are obviously lots of, I think at that point, those are cheeks clapping.
Bands making bands.
This is going to be a Champions League heavy show, because a lot of drama in Champions League. Just a quick heads up, because we had mentioned on last episode that Brad Stuver of Austin FC was going to be on today's episode.
We didn't mention it. You mentioned it.
I mean, Carter mentioned it, but if you want to be literal about
was
it.
Was it you, Carter?
Because
yes, it was
you
me.
You never use the microphone. The one time you do, you bury us.
So Brad will be on Monday's episode, not today's episode. We just, it was a game time decision.
Yeah, bro. Brad's going to be on the show. Stop clocking our schedule like that, bro.
And just a heads up to all the Austin FC fans that perked their ears up when they heard Brad's name.
It's coming, dude. It's coming.
It'll be on Monday's episode. And again, just a reminder, make sure you click like and subscribe on this video. Do it right now. Hit the like button because you're going to like it. I promise.
How about this? If you're excited for us doing any interview, hit the like button.
Okay. How about that? Whether it's Brad Stuver or not. If you don't know who Brad Stuver is, hit the like button.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know? All right. Let's get right to it, because UEFA Champions League was filled with drama this week. Let's just get to what as obviously has to be today's top topic, Arsenal. Dicen, no, a tu remontada.
Wow, more like a remonada.
Okay.
A remonada.
That sounds like a delicious drink out in Barcelona.
I bet you it tastes sour.
Arsenal, go move on to the semifinal of the Champions League. Alexis,
I want to remind everyone that I said before the first match that it would end in 5-1.
What a prediction.
I said that in my dreams, you know what I mean? First of all, there was no chance that I thought it would look like this, it would feel like this. Just because, just on paper, you know what I mean? Real Madrid are just littered with stars. And at the end of the day, I think this becomes the same conversation, right? Like Galacticos, it doesn't always work, because at the end of the day, you need that chemistry. Like, you're putting together the FIFA Ultimate Team. You need them lines, bro. You need them lines be green, bro. They can't all be red. And I think you see in some of that. For me, the biggest surprise of all of this is just how much Arsenal came together. I mean, I don't know if I'm more impressed with Declan Rice and the job he's done over the last two matches. Kivior, absolutely incredible. One or two sketchy moments, but for the most part, flourishing, coming into his own as a center back in the most difficult moment, bro. This dude don't get any burn, and then all of a sudden, it's like, yo, you got to go, you know, against Real Madrid, you know, superstars lined up. I'm Saka at, 70%? And how great he still looks.
Yeah.
Miles Lewis-Skelly, they stepped on my boy's nuts. You know what I mean?
His navel.
He fell back. And you know what happens when you fall back? It all slides up that way. You know what I mean? They stepped on my boy's nuts, and he still went. Came through.
So we're gonna do two things. We're obviously going to talk about Arsenal advancing, and then also Real Madrid getting knocked out. But you mentioned already a couple of the players, but the man of the match for both games was Declan Rice. I thought. I thought in the second game, I thought he was even better than the first. And he did, obviously he didn't score.
There's more highlights from the first, but if you watch football, that second game is crazy. First, he was everywhere, everywhere.
How does this dude don't get tired?
Bro.
How does he not get tired doing what he does?
Can we do something? I know that's not on the roundup, but look up GRM Daily on Instagram real quick. I want you to pull up a video and I want you to watch it because there's a British rapper named Scorcher.
Okay.
He was a guest on Filthy Fellas a while back. And he had a lot to say, and a lot of it came kind of true. Look it up on Instagram. It kind of came true, some of the stuff. I just need you to see, like, this is part of what we do. Sometimes we talk on this show.
Sure.
And the things that are just most obvious to you, you say. Mm-hmm. And then in the future, it all comes back to bite you in the tuchus, if you will.
Oh, like, you know? Talking smack about Declan.
Yeah, so right there, the middle one, right there.
This one, okay. Click,
no, that one right there, yeah.
All right, you got
to. Can you put the audio and then
just unmute it? It's at the little mute things at the bottom.
And you got to go back now.
Yeah, to hit the little buttons at the bottom of that. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right.
And get past Real Madrid, you know.
Let's talk about
who.
Arsenal. Let's talk about it.
Come on, guys.
So this is a rapper named Scorcher.
Just do the simple equation.
What's the equation?
Ancelotti, Arteta, forget it. Forget it. And then listen, there's another big problem.
Who?
Yeah, he's called Declan Rice.
What? Unprompted.
What? Oh, are you lot still doing this thing where you lot are pretending this ain't a £40 million player, bro?
Well, allow it.
Ooh.
Allow
it.
Listen to this. You see Jude Bellingham. You see that 100 million. It's going to look like 100 million at the highest level of football.
We'll see, bro.
We'll see. We'll
I
see.
Hear what you're saying, bro.
Hey, listen to this. With Declan Rice, the goalpost is different.
No.
I seen Paul Pogba balling out in England, a man talking like he was...
He wasn't as consistent as Declan.
I don't care. They got a man
okay.
That's...
Okay, hold on. Watch.
We're meant to be...
Oh, you muted.
Failure.
You name out better midfielders than him in the Premier League. In the Premier League right now.
Bruno Guimarães, Joe Linton, chill out.
Joe Linton.
Keep it moving.
All right.
McAllister, let's keep it moving.
McAllister.
You're talking about a midfielder that can't get the ball on the half turn. I'm done.
That's the end of the cut. Bro, this was months ago. Unprompted, this man brings up Declan Rice in Real Madrid. And look at what happened. I mean, this happens on the show, but isn't that...
I just want to say real quick, we got to take podcast mics away from British content creators.
We got to up the tariffs,
bro. They shouldn't be allowed to talk about the sport.
Tariffs going up on podcast mics, bro. This is why you need Americans talking about the sport, bro. We're going to use a little bit more panache.
This is okay.
Shouts to Filthy Fellas, by the way.
There's a couple things here. Obviously, you know, the price tag on Declan Rice is going to come with a lot of criticism.
Hold on, it hung over his head, but would you not say that over these last two matches, you said that's the player Arsenal paid $100 million for?
Well, not even last 50 matches. Yeah. What is he talking
sure,
about?
Sure, but these two at the highest level.
Yeah.
When you're asked to perform, and he mentioned Jude Bellingham, that's a $100 million player.
Oh, Jude Bellingham was a nightmare.
Where was my
in
guy?
Both of these games. And not even, look, you could see what he was attempting to do and attempting to be a part of the game.
Or what he was asked to have to do.
But the moments that stood out for Jude Bellingham in this game were him pushing Jurrien Timber on the ground, him grabbing at Declan Rice's leg.
Come on, trying to open field. My guy's been watching NFL.
We'll get more into it with with Real Madrid. But yeah, I mean, in this particular comparison, Declan Rice across both legs was absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
And
also Mikel Arteta. I mean, you got to give Mikel Arteta credit. Now, I know the question becomes like, you know, when it was Pep versus Ancelotti kind of figured him out. And the anti-tactic versus the tactic, which I don't think is also always true. There's people, maybe Ancelotti himself isn't the guy who's like, hey, maybe if we move our six up a little bit further. Maybe he's not the guy to make those little decisions. And I think he is, actually. You see it on the sidelines. There's people on his staff that are paid to do that exact thing, right? Like Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't a tactician, but there were people behind him that were asked to do that, right? Thomas Edison said, you don't have to know everything, just hire the people that know those things. And that's exactly what Ancelotti has done. That said, to go into, a remontada, fueled or wishful, Santiago Bernabeu.
Yeah.
To go into that and get it right again, you know, where you didn't need to win by the skin of your teeth. There was maybe 10 minutes of panic across 180 minutes of football.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Mikel Arteta got it right with a reduced squad, no striker. A teenager at left back,
yeah.
A untested center back, next to William Saliba. And the only goal that they gave up across both legs is a mistake by William Saliba. I still think more of a mistake by David Raya. And that's it. It's crazy what Mikel Arteta was able to do.
Yeah, that's the... I mean, look, the defending, I think, is what should really be the man of the match or whatever across both legs, because the... How many shots on target did Real Madrid have in that second leg?
Not much.
Two, maybe three. Yeah. Shots on target, three.
Three for, shots on target versus six.
Yeah. And Saliba, there was a few moments. I thought the early yellow card that David Alaba got with that wild challenge on Saka,
clearly trying to take Saka out.
Well, yeah, or send a message, and
of course,
and Ray Hudson was on the call with Chris Whittingham on the CBS broadcast, and he made the comment of like Alba was just like, hey, letting him know, hey, yeah, this is what this game is gonna be.
It's gonna be a tough one for
but
you.
But I saw it as like, yo, this looks like a moment of weakness. This like to we were all worried about, oh, what if Real Madrid gets that early goal, an early yellow on a ball where Saka was like, made the right decision, and yeah, it felt, it wasn't a like, hey, this is get stuck in. It was like a, yo, I got embarrassed and I ended up, you know, throwing in a wild ass challenge, and right, now I have to worry about this yellow card for the rest of the game. And there were all those like little moments. Same thing, Jude Bellingham foul, like drawing so many fouls. Miles Lewis-Skelly, he did it in the first leg, did it in the second leg. Again, bringing the ball, dribbling the minimal, not being afraid when 2-3 defenders were around him.
And they're trying to take him down. And yo, you can't, yo. Dude's strong. He's been in the gym, bro.
It says a lot for a teenager. Like, we were joking about him getting stepped on the nuts or whatever by Rudiger. But it says a lot for a teenager to have the trust of their coach to be like, yeah, if you need to dribble in, and you're the left back. He got fouled. Where did he get fouled? It was like almost
by the center circle.
Around the center circle, like a few yards ahead. I'm like, all right, that says a lot about Arsenal's confidence defending and going forward. And again, Timber was because fantastic.
Because if you have a teenager in, maybe your manager says, hey, yo, let's like, you just defend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to overload what you think.
I don't want you to stand out in this game. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to make any mistakes.
I don't
want
any highlights involving you. You know what I mean? You're just going to be back there. You're going to defend. And to some degree, remember when Kiwior had to come in at left back or had to come in at left side and center back earlier in the season and towards the end of last season, it was like, yo, don't even pass my guy the ball because he looks nervous when he has the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
So just let's figure it out around him. You just defend. Yo, Miles Lewis-Skelly, the tactic is you invert, you cut in, and you essentially become the eight. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. Look, I think
The six. I'm sorry.
Going forward, my only concern now with Arsenal is the really stupid yellow card that Thomas Partey picked up, and now he's missing the next.
He's gonna miss the next game.
The next game. So I wonder how
which is at home, but still, I mean. It's all, as much as I really want Partey off the squad, he played extremely well.
Saliba's error or Raya's error was less stupid than what Partey did in that getting that yellow, in my opinion. But another moment that was fantastic was the 1v1 Mbappe against Saliba, and Saliba gets in front of him and ushers the ball out. Again, it's just those moments of like they couldn't, even their best players couldn't figure anything out. They had no ideas, and it's frustrating when it's Mbappe 1v1. You at the very least you think, all right, at least it's gonna be a shot on target or something, right, or just a shot. And they weren't giving them a moment to breathe.
No,
so that's where you have to like applaud Arsenal, because they did everything. They couldn't have had a better game outside of the Saliba error. It was perfect across two legs.
Because of the success, it makes you look back at what Mikel Arteta's done since he got here. Seems like every year he's adding a new piece. You know, they were high flying.
Yeah.
They were scoring a bunch of goals. And then he focused more on the defending. And he made the team more defensively stout. Defense wins championships.
Sure.
You know what I mean? As an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't necessarily consider them the favorites. But I think Opta just came out with something, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that after in the next segment. But and just a couple of quick things to highlight. Mikel Merino, I don't know how he's doing it. He looks fantastic.
Not as a striker. But you also, if you have Saka there, I mean, you kind of don't need really a striker, right?
But to have him, to have a striker.
Like that a false nine?
Who can pass like that.
Yeah.
Is remarkable.
Right. And there were questions as to why you bring this guy in. And I wasn't sure. Dude. But now I'm like, what you got.
Drew the penalty. Yep. Fantastic play. Rice got the man of the match, but on Fab Mob,
they gave him the man of the match. Yeah,
he was
only fair, 2 assists. He also had the least touches and the least duels won. So when he wasn't able to do it in other ways, he found ways to be instrumental. Okay,
a couple dramatic moments, or at least controversial moments. Let's talk about the penalties real quick. Because the penalty that Marino won, I personally thought, VAR got involved.
Yeah,
it wasn't a call on the pitch.
I was happy about it, but if it was against my team, I would have been furious.
It's an annoying one. Yeah. This felt like, a couple people mentioned that, like, it doesn't feel like a Premier League penalty. Like, you just let this go.
Well, so Matt, my friend Matt from England, was watching with us, and he's like, that's not a penalty. Maybe the rules. And he immediately caught him, so he goes, oh, wait, maybe the rules are different in Champions League. Because in Premier League, you wouldn't have seen something that from that far back. It just felt like they went a little bit too far back.
Wasn't close to the ball. Yeah. That obviously Courtois caught the corner.
Had it been called, I see that VAR wouldn't have been able to overturn it.
I agree there. And that's what goes on to the second penalty. The second penalty shouldn't have been called. It was a very, very soft penalty.
I mean, they got it right. You know what I mean?
you gotta love.
They went back and they said, we got to do this by the letter of the law.
So the second penalty, Rice is, yes, he has his arms on Mbappe. There's a flick on and Mbappe is going in the direction of Mbappe. But
Mbappe collapses like a black and white movie actress who falls into the arms of falls into the arms of a gentleman, you know?
So this was another one, in my opinion, shouldn't have been called. It was on the field, and VAR gets involved, and it is a long VAR check.
It is. The what they said on the broadcast was that they were also looking at
possible offside.
So I get why it takes on. My frustration is like, bro, if you call the penalty and then VAR says, hold on, we're checking, just start walking to the screen.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just go to the screen. Why are we waiting this long for you to be told to go to the screen?
With offside, because they have the semi-automated VAR and stuff, they usually don't have to, especially in Champions League. But it usually can get sorted out pretty quickly. It was like 5-6 minutes, bro. Like
this ref was having a rough one.
This was a look again. I think the ref should have went to the screen for the first penalty and said, "Hey, I'm going to stay with the decision on the field." Even that play had no impact. Even if it was a foul, sure, and I do think it was. But just move on. You didn't see it. It didn't affect the play. To me, it wasn't that clear and obvious that it was a. I do think it was a foul, but whatever. I sound hypocritical, but in general, it just felt like it ruined the game. So I didn't like the VAR getting involved there.
I didn't agree, but there was a moment where I'm like, oh, this is gonna get out of hand.
And then Christina Uncle on the broadcast as well. She had said that that because of how long the VAR check took. That it didn't, even in general, it didn't feel like that was a play that the VAR should have gotten involved in. They shouldn't have told the ref to go look at this to make sure. Because if it's taking that long, it does feel like a subjective thing. And then at that point, it's like, hey, yes, you win some, you lose some. One ref one day might call it, the other might not. And that's part of the game as well. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately probably wouldn't have affected the end result of the game. But still, just it was a distraction. It just felt like the wrong decision for both of the penalties. I didn't like either decisions for both of them. Anyway, let's move on. Oh wait, the last thing, the Panenka from Saka.
Yeah, you know what? Because he scores in the game and does does Mbappe celebration and also does Thierry Henry's shush from the last time. You know when he played at Bernabeu. I'm fine with it. I think it was more mishit than anything because he didn't just Panenka. Panenka usually is dead center.
Yeah.
He Panenka to the left side, which is literally right in the zone they tell you not to hit the penalty in anyway because it's the most savable spot because it's where the body's probably going to be. So at the end of the day, unless unless Courtois completely dives the wrong way, there's even a chance he could save that with his foot. I think he just mishit it. And he knew it. If you watch the replay where it's close on his face, as soon as he hit it, he kind of went, ugh. Because he knew. He mishit it.
Yeah, the only issue, I'm fine with him taking the Panenka. The weird moment was that at halftime, Danny Carvajal, who was not playing in this game, he waited for him like by the tunnel.
He did the hand on the back of the neck, which is usually a, I'm giving you some type of plaudit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like plaudit. No.
He was mad. He apparently was mad that he's like, how dare you try a Panenka here at the Bernabeu?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, what is that?
How dare you have brittle bones, dude?
What are you mad at? Like, bro, you're already down. Like, what? It's a Panenka. It's not like an insulting.
Oh, it is.
It's insulting.
Yeah, it's disrespectful, but in like a lighthearted way.
It's within the rules, it's not crazy.
It's not like walking the ball in on, you know what I mean?
If the keeper's out. We understand.
It's not at that level, but
that guy that walked the ball and then headed it on the ground. Yeah. Remember that dude?
I would still see Panenka's like, oh, you're whatever they say, like you're taking the piss. You know what I mean? Like you're being a little cheeky at that moment.
Right.
But it got saved, so who cares?
Yeah, it's just a pretty corny thing. Yeah. That's why I credit Saka and Arsenal after not making that penalty and also going for the cheeky chip.
Yeah,
and still not letting it affect their confidence. They were fantastic.
Did you see how Jude Bellingham didn't shake hands with Miles Lewis-Skelly?
I did not see that.
They asked Miles Lewis-Skelly why. You know what he said? No. He goes, because I walked up to him and said, "Where's the remontada?" Yeah, what's up with that remontada? Yo, Maslow is Skelly, bro.
Hilarious. All right, Real Madrid. Now let's focus on them a little bit because they are done. And this is
does Ancelotti go back to Everton, bro?
We got David Moyes. I've always stuck by David Moyes. Always wanted.
We don't need him.
This is the discourse around Real Madrid losing. I don't know about you. I can't really take it seriously when they're like, you know, Ancelotti, get out of my club and you're brewing. What are you talking? I cannot understand.
The man who won the 15th. You know what I mean?
I mean, also just won it.
Yeah,
right?
They are the title holders.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to have a bad season? And that begs the question, are you allowed to have a bad season as a Real Madrid manager? And are you allowed to have a bad season when they go out and get an Mbappe?
Right. And that's the... I mean, everyone was bad. I mean, I thought Vinicius Jr. at the very least.
He put pressure on the back
line. He put some pressure. He did get the goal.
Yeah, he did part of what he was supposed to do, but he still wasn't all that effective.
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, is it that are they, it's not that they're not world-class players, those front three. And maybe there's a debate about Rodrigo, even me saying that he's world-class. But can we say that the Arsenal defenders, are they possibly world-class to be able to shut these guys down? They couldn't do anything.
I think after this last two legs, you have to say Arsenal defending, or at least the defense in general. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The tactics of all four defenders, and including the defensive midfielders, are justifiably elite.
Yeah.
Elite at the very least. The biggest problem, and Ancelotti's biggest problem, is not having Mbappe and trying to figure out what him and Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo. It's not any of that. It's missing Toni Kroos and Luka Modric getting another year older and seemingly 1 year too old, which we never really thought was
going to be a couple people in the comments section. It's Toni Kroos, not Toni Kroos. But okay.
Well, I think
just letting you know that you are seen, you are heard, and you are seen.
Well, I think you corrected me as a little gross. You know what I mean? It's just a little disgusting. Personally, I think missing those two players, Toni Kroos, Toni Kroos, obviously. Oh, come on. There you go. Toni Kroos, obviously, was the glue that held this all together.
Sure.
You know, he was the metronome by which this team played. Without him, it don't matter how good your forwards are. You can beat up on 70% of La Liga's, you know, clubs. You cannot do that in Champions League without players of that ilk.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. You saw how quickly City collapsed without a player like Rodri.
Mm-hmm.
or Rodri, okay?
Okay.
Whatever, man, just in case.
He doesn't even say his name like that.
Yeah, just in case there's one guy out there like, excuse me, you American? For me personally, when you see that you're missing a midfield like that, you're going to be able to, at the very least, you're going to suffer a little bit. And if a team can figure out tactics to kind of pick you apart, not let you have the ball in the midfield at all, ever, and that's exactly what Arsenal did, then you're going to, there's a chance you may lose. And 5-1 is, that is a pretty substantial amount of evidence.
At every level, back line, midfield, and attack, Arsenal were better in every single phase. Raya, the interesting thing about Raya is that he really didn't have to do that much.
He didn't
across,
get tested.
Across both legs, which says so much about the defending. But the, yeah, they were all lost. I mean, look, Vasquez, Asensio, Rudiger, and Alaba, nightmarish.
Rudiger was a head bump, headbutting people.
They just, the moment, I understand that they had to send numbers forward time to time, but the most disappointing part of the remontada, the help that they needed, you know, they always say about the getting help from the refs, but that penalty that was taken back, that was
everything got reversed, bro.
That was the biggest blow to their chances.
I think losing 3-0 in the first leg was the biggest blow.
Sure, but
because it put so much additional pressure that even one goal, had that penalty gone in, the match was over.
I'm just talking about the momentum for comeback. That's mainly it. But this was I don't know if it's an Arteta masterclass. It's sometimes it's difficult because the Premier League, the standards obviously very, very high, but then also you don't really give a lot of praise to many of the teams or players. There's a certain expectation that we sort of have that they should play a certain way, they should play like really, really well. But this was something, it's just like really impressive. In one game, if it was like a league, the league phase, and you won game, I'm like, oh wow, they got, you could maybe say it was luck.
Like
or
when Newcastle beat Real Madrid 4-0, and you're like, oh, that just was. This was a fluke, whatever.
But across two games and very few chances created.
To go to the Santiago Bernabeu and still win. Incredible.
Yeah. And then
home and away.
Mbappe. The last thing I'll say, Mbappe gets injured. He leaves the game in the 75th minute. Mm-hmm. But the challenge that he rolls his ankle on was a little bit similar to the red that he got. He did the jumping, foot stomp to try to win the ball back.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, this dude seems like you just got a red for that.
You got a red and now you got injured. At some point, you're going to learn to stop doing this damn move.
It was a little risky. I mean, obviously, it wasn't a reckless challenge like somebody was going to get hurt, but it was the physical motion of like, it's something that is like normal to muscle memory. He's just like, oh, I'm going to jump into this to this ball to win it.
Yeah.
And then he got rolls his damn ankle. So.
I still think he's good enough where the bump up from PSG to Real Madrid to him, it's like, oh, it's a different level. I think he's good enough where his talent is high enough where I don't think it's that much of a difference. I think it's those little moments where the difference is like, you're not going to get these, players don't play the same way they did in Ligue 1 out here, in Champions League and in some of these teams, you don't get those calls like you used to get every day. So you got to get some of those bad habits out of your system. The talent's not the issue.
Well, yeah. Well, now PSG is playing Arsenal in the next round and Mbappe is
there. Hey, that's significant. Mbappe's going home. He gets to watch PSG from his couch.
Are you a fan? I wonder who he's rooting for.
Ooh.
Who do you think he's rooting for?
I think he's got to be rooting for Arsenal, right?
Maybe. I don't know who, who's he more angry with?
I don't know. He's Parisian, bro.
All right. Let's, we're going to talk about the rest of the Champions League matches this week.
There were other matches, absolutely.
Yeah, there were, that were pretty intense as well. So we'll talk about those right after this. Champions League. Let's talk about the rest of the matches. Inter Milan. We'll start with Inter Milan against Bayern Munich. They're hosting Bayern at the San Siro. They win this game.
Yeah, man. It was drawn. It was a draw.
Oh, that's right. It was. They win over across the two legs, so they win the tie. But this was a game where they were down 2-1. Bayern was down 2-1 after losing in the first leg, and then Harry Kane scores. They tie it up.
Okay. Great goal.
Great goal.
Yeah.
I thought, who was it? DeMarco, I think, was the one marking him. He was demarking him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And gave you, it's like, it seems fairly obvious. Do not give Harry Kane way too much time. Like, you know,
it's almost impossible he'll find space.
Sure, you know what I mean? But it was a lot.
But you gave
him a lot of space.
For a guy who could find it with no space, you gave him too much space.
So the he ties the game, and I'm like, all right, here it is. Right. What's remontada in German?
Yeah. das Remontenkugeln.
The Remontenkugeln. Yeah,
I feel like I'm pretty close.
It's happening.
Yeah, Carter, if you could look that up. I think I'm pretty close.
And then there's a corner, and just a couple minutes later, this is in the Kane scores in the 52nd, and Martinez scores in the 58th, and. It was a
momentum killer.
100% because they held on. They were playing with Inter Milan. They were good across
Inter Milan is so
games.
Great.
But the pressure in that second leg was evident. And to give up a goal and to give up the lead on a corner of like, and the ball takes a bounce and Martinez gets on the end of it. It's just like, it's annoying. That's how I was watching it. For all Bayern fans, I'm like, this is annoying.
Also, for the ball to come off your hand and they keep showing the replay.
Yeah.
There was a couple Bayern fans like around where I was sitting, and you could see that they were just growing angrier and angrier. It was a lot more German language being spoken. They were clearly tourists, but they were wearing, Bayern stuff. And you could see it's frustrating. It's frustrating to let a goal in at that moment, but it's even more frustrating the way it goes in. I mean, what a beautiful volley, though.
Yeah, I'm like looking at it right now because I just to get another quick look at it because I wasn't sure if it hit, they were looking at it.
They did. Yeah, they showed the replay multiple times.
And it didn't look like it hit his, I thought it might have hit his leg or something.
Nah, very clearly hit his hand, especially the
so
view
I don't
from
know,
behind.
How is this allowed if it hit Lautaro's arm?
It doesn't even get reviewed. The game just goes on. And they keep showing the replay.
His arm is in a natural position. I will give that. It is
sure.
by his side.
But it's also aiding in him.
It does look like it helps
a
little
bit. It traps the ball
for
him.
Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of get hard done by that.
What an insane
and I believe
volley
Kimmich,
shot.
Joshua Kimmich was like, he kept
hitting
arm.
Yeah, he kept pointing
up,
at his arm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a frustrating goal to give up, but then
frustrating way for it to end too.
Yeah, and then the goal, giving up the goal to Pavard is just like again.
And the last 10 minutes of this match was just an absolute onslaught on Jan Sommer. Jan Sommer made one incredible save where he dives to the right. I forgot who took the shot. Where I was like, bro, Jan Sommer, man.
Yeah, it was just one of those. It's just one of them days.
Written by Montel Jordan.
Okay.
I just saw that on social media the other day.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy? I thought he was the one who wanted to turn that too.
Frustrating for Bayern. I don't know. They Bayern look like they're about to win Bundesliga. Still a couple games left. Anything could happen. But still, if they win Bundesliga and you know, obviously get knocked out of a Champions League, is this seeding good enough?
Well, they had to get back to winning Bundesliga at the minimum, but that is still the minimum, right?
Yeah.
So the question becomes, Vincent Kompany, a guy who got his team relegated in the Premier League, becomes a manager after everyone else said no. So many people said no. He comes in, he's like, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Is this good enough for Bayern? And I'm going to say it's good enough for right now.
Sure. I mean,
because at the very least, you've corrected course.
Yeah, you lost last season, but you lost Bundesliga last season to a team that went invincible. So at that point, you know,
but if you're Bayern, you are the super team.
Sure.
You're the ones who spend the most money. You make the most money. They're the richest club in the world because they have zero debt. You know what I mean?
Okay, I didn't know that.
If you look at it that way, they are the richest club in the world.
Sure.
For them to be like, all of a sudden we lose to this scrappy Bayer Leverkusen with a manager who said no to us. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bad look. So for your guy to come back and then win the league, positive, super positive. But if you're Bayern Munich, you are rated by what you do in Champions League. And as of that case, this is a failure.
Yeah, this is a disappointment. And again, the losing in that particular, the first leg, I thought Inter Milan, like, it was probably more impressive because they scored in the run of play and really in great goals. But the I mean, again, not to take anything away from Inter Milan, but it's just like, it's like fundamentals, you know, right. Like kind of like don't make.
What's he, the first manager in how many years to Italian manager to make it to the semifinals 2 years in a row?
He's only the second Inter Milan manager to make it to two Champions League semifinals. The only other one is Helenio Herrera in the 1960s.
Yeah, we all remember.
Oh my God, I remember where I was.
Oh. Actually, you know, it's funny. My mother just threw out that poster.
I said, Mom, yeah, Mama, no.
She said she wants to. She said, what are you doing? She wants to change the room into a ravioli station.
So. All right, next up, Aston Villa against PSG. And this game was another one that the lead was almost felt insurmountable. After, you know, Aston Villa goes up 1-0 at Parc des Princes and then end up losing, I believe, was it 3-1? They lost that first one. And then they give up two at home. And this is what I think it was like that second goal was just like so deflating. But again, credit to Aston Villa. They
put the pressure on him, man.
Put a lot of pressure.
Villa Park is not an easy place to go. Unai Emery has an aura when it comes to knockout competitions.
Sure.
It's really difficult to... It may not be... How do I put this? Like, I don't think of him as a winning coach in that. I think of him as extremely difficult to beat. Does that make sense?
But he won Europa a couple times.
I don't look at him and go, that's a guy who's going to win automatically. I think of you don't want to face this guy. He's just such a tough guy to beat in these situations. It's like the ratio swayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. He does win, but it's more difficult to beat him than he is going to go home, go to your house and beat you up. You know what I mean?
I mean, in this one, Donnarumma has to be, you know.
Donnarumma's a star.
He made some unbelievable save.
But can I also say, why is Desiree, I forget how to pronounce it, the same guy from Cruz is going to be mad. But Doué needs to be on the pitch at all times. Under the most pressure, he still is like elegant. I want to see him in 120 frames per second only. This guy is so incredibly good. And I think that's the real question about PSG is like, you have all this insane amount of talent, but somehow you still found a way to like, give up a bunch of goals going to Villa Park. Can you keep it together against an Arsenal who defensively aren't going to give you that much? And also beat you, what, 4-0 at the beginning of Champions League?
Yeah.
I was there, actually. I should remember that. To me, this is the question. All the talent, if you're going to put list, it's going to be just like Real Madrid. You're going to think, all the talent's over here on this side. There's a few names on the Arsenal side. But with what Luis Enrique did, which I'm a big fan of Luis Enrique, what happened at Villa Park, adds a couple more asterisks.
Yeah, and it's you know, the players. I mean, Dembele. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But he was even though they won the tie, he was not very happy.
What is going on? The man did not want the man of the match award.
Yeah, he just like walked away. The guy's trying to give him a. It's weird to be handed an award. Like, I mean, get that away from me.
I don't even see it, dog.
So, all right, next up, Barcelona against Dortmund.
Wait, don't we have the photos of these?
No, we're gonna show them in the next segment. Barcelona against Dortmund, not too much of a shock yet. Dortmund with another game that felt like, hey, this it was already sort of set in stone after that first leg. But Dortmund kind of made it a little bit interesting.
Yeah, man.
But the Barcelona just did enough. They end up going 5-3 in the aggregate. But
they're doing what they do, which is we're just going to score a lot more than you.
Yes, and it was somewhat decided in that first leg. But the own goal. Mm-hmm. That sent the ball in? I think it was Pedri? Oh, I don't even know. I forgot who it was. Okay. But whizzed the ball in so fast that it wasn't even like I'm trying to get it to this.
Yeah, yeah, it was just like let me put it in a pressure area.
Let me just throw it in there, see what happens, and it leads to
the defender with a beautiful strike on goal.
Rocketed the ball in, and then that's when it felt sort of decided. I mean, there was a hat trick from Sergio
Girassi.
But obviously was not enough. Okay, so was that the last game that to cover? We were okay.
Opta Analyst put together a list of the last four clubs, and their supercomputer has come up with the probabilities of winning.
Yeah,
and as of right now, let's go from last to first. And now I'm telling you, this is going from last to first. In fourth, least likely to win the Champions League right now is Barcelona at 21.8.
Carter, you can put it on screen, by the way. Yeah, yeah.
Second, third place would be PSG at 24. Second would be Inter Milan at 25.5, which leads first. The most probable to win based on the supercomputer is Arsenal at 28.7%. Even I'm like, you sure this ain't flipped in reverse, bro?
I don't know if the you know, there's enough supercomputing. I don't know how accurate this might be.
Well, the computer's putin, bro. Because this thing is what data sets are we using? Because even I'm an Arsenal fan, but this has been a demonstrably bad season a rough season for Arsenal in the Premier League. So to be considered most likely to win, it's because of the defending. It's got
to
be it.
It has to be. I mean, maybe the also Inter as second feels a little, I guess maybe it is the
defending.
The defending, they're prioritizing
who
that.
Are the two least likely to win? The two teams that are like, we'll get to defending later, bro.
Yeah, so this feels like something we're just like, especially in the last like decade, we're just sort of not, when it comes to Champions League, we're just not used to seeing like this. Especially even Serie A sides from their dominance in 90s and early 2000s to now, it's just like, oh, the idea that they could be, even in this list, second most likely to win. See, it feels a little jarring to look at, especially when you're watching this. I would probably, if you were making the list, just think about how you would do it. To me, it feels like PSG would be first, Arsenal second, Barcelona third, and Inter fourth. That's just me. That's my supercomputer.
Well, let me tell you, my calculator with the little paper at the end. That's my supercomputer. So understand.
It is tax time.
Understand. I'm not coming at this from very analytical. I'd say Barca first. I'd say Inter second. I'd say Arsenal third. I'd say PSG fourth.
Interesting. I mean, based on just this Champions League season, so without the bias of just history and all this other stuff, I feel good about my list because it's
defending wins championships though.
It does, and
so I get why the supercomputer's saying that. If you can't get shots off, you ain't gonna win.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting matchup between Arsenal and PSG, two teams that I think are somewhat similar and have players with the similar kind of flexibility and versatility. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Nuno Mendes, that's gonna be a problem, right? Like
100%
for Arsenal, but then vice versa. Mazzucchelli is going to be a problem for PSG.
Oh, Vitinha, problem.
Vitinha.
Odegaard, problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be a really good...
This is a good
competition. Matchup.
This could be one that may go to penalties in the second leg.
Yeah, this feels like either a 3-3 or a 0-0.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
So so it's going to be interesting. You have to favor Barcelona over Inter Milan. Maybe some people may think that's crazy. I still think the
weaponry Barcelona show.
I understand if they're not Real Madrid in the sense that their players are not producing. Like again, the expectations of an Mbappe are different than the expectations of Lamine Yamal. But they have Lamine Yamal and Rafinha and 38-year-old Lewandowski are still firing on all cylinders.
Guardiola is still back there.
Yeah, they didn't have a great game against Dortmund, but they did enough in that first leg to win.
But here's the thing. I can see why the Opt is doing this because all of those other teams besides Arsenal showed weakness in the back.
Sure.
Arsenal, the least amount. So I get why it's doing this. As an Arsenal fan, I'm like, please don't do this to us. We got no striker. Teenagers in the back.
That's the scary thing. I mean, and then also,
Saka's at 70%.
Again, like I mentioned earlier, the concern about Thomas Partey getting that yellow and missing that first leg.
Who knows? Maybe there's another teenager we don't know.
Who is going to replace him? I'm curious.
Defensively?
Bring in Trossard maybe? Have him in the midfield?
Maybe no. Ben White and Timber slides forward?
Maybe. Okay, it's going to be interesting how they figure out that problem. All right.
Tierney?
Okay, we got some Rapido reactions right after this. Come right back.
All right, we back, baby. Let's talk a little bit about some Rapido reactions.
Let's go.
This is one of my favorite things. So there's a bunch of stuff we didn't get a chance to talk about. Carter hit us with some topics. And we'll give you our reactions very quickly.
Exactly.
All right. First one here. I'm going to show you guys some photos, okay? And then I want you to tell me which one. This is Serhou Guirassy after winning Man of the Match, scoring a hat-trick against Barcelona, but being eliminated.
This is your grandmother gave you a sweater for Christmas and yeah. your mother makes you take a picture with it.
I've seen hostages with a bigger smile than this.
Bro, okay, rough topic to bring up right now.
And this is Usman Dembele looking very...
Nah, Dembele looking with the Roman fit. Man wore his puffer, bro. He said, man's not hot.
Man looking very angry after winning Man of the Match. Even though they advanced, they did lose this game.
Yeah.
Who looks... Why is Dembele more angry than Guirassy in these photos?
We need a full 30 for 30 breakdown of why he's so mad. I know you lost the game, but you won the tie, dude.
Yeah, this is you can let the joy in a little bit.
But you know what? He's doing the thing to his lips he's got him gripped a little bit tight to show you in the photo, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Dembele looks like those dudes that are like, nah, I don't smile in photos.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, it looks like this is like a genuine thing that he does regularly.
Yeah. Dudes who hold their watches.
Yeah.
Have you ever, hold your watch real quick.
Hold my watch?
Hold your watch the other way. There you go. Dudes who do that in photos. I do this, by the way. But you can't smile when you're doing that.
Got it. Yeah.
When you hold your watch, you can't smile. It doesn't. Okay. The stance doesn't work.
Guirassy genuinely looks sad.
He just lost. Also, you can't smile in that moment, even though you got a hat trick. Smile because your team just lost.
This is the in the World Cup. The Kai Havertz and was it Pop? Mm-hmm. From the men's and women's national teams after the World Cup, they won the Player of the Match. And had the awkward photos of like, we lost, but I'm doing, it wasn't because of me.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed. I did.
So you can't smile because
you can't smile in that moment because you're like,
your teammate's going to be mad at you. But you know, in reality,
the fans will be like, excuse me. You know what I mean? But yo, Usman Dembele, I don't get it.
All right.
All right. Your next one here. Kylian Mbappe got a one-match ban for an insane red card. You guys saw this in the
yeah,
La
yeah.
Liga.
Well, maybe we can add in post the actual still frame.
What's the question? Is it that you don't think it was enough?
Yes. So the question is, how did he get away with just a one-match ban?
Yeah, because of the shirt he wears.
Maybe, who knows? I mean, whatever. You know, there's a little bit of controversy there.
If you're a Barca fan, you're saying the same thing I'm saying.
It was a pretty egregious challenge. And, the player, it was an Alaves player. I forget who it was, but he's lucky to not have a broken leg.
Yeah, absolutely. Could have ended his career.
Like, he's lucky that his ankle rolled. Because it could have been, if his
boots get stuck in the grass, he's done.
It's a nightmare. So, one game, I mean, definitely we're used to watching Premier. We're not watching La Liga every single week, but you see this in the Premier League, and you're lucky if it's only three games.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you're lucky if you get out of that pitch without somebody trying to take you out. But actually, they just updated it. He's actually going to be out for the rest of the Champions League. So,
okay. Interesting. Are they working that out?
Looks like it got a little bit tougher for him, huh?
No, I mean, there's not much to be said. I don't know if anyone in the comments disagrees.
I don't think he's a dirty player, but that was a dangerous and violent tackle.
Again, it's the jump before the challenge.
It's a little hot.
And then you see his muscle and his thigh like tighten.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is aggressive.
Bro, Christian got in the details of this thing. He's looking at thigh muscle, bro.
Yeah, I was drooling a little bit, but yeah.
Just want to order wings, bro.
All right, no comment. Next one here. Antoine Griezmann signs a new 2-year deal with Atletico Madrid. Does this mean he's never coming to MLS?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be two goals.
This is my reaction when I saw this. Boo! I hate this. I want to see Griezmann in MLS.
He's talked about wanting to come to MLS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, why are you teasing me like that for?
What sucks is there's not that many players that openly speak about like, oh, I can't wait to play in MLS.
Exactly.
This was one of our guys,
bro.
This
would have been so cool. Regardless of what team he plays for, it's been nice to see him week in and week out.
This still feels like when Lampard signed with City for like 6 months. It's like you're just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to I mean, he's timeless, but I feel like it's a Luka Modric. There's just going to come one day where all of a sudden he looks a lot older on the pitch.
Yeah.
And that's when he's going to decide to come to MLS. He might be too old because league is super athletic.
He's going to be, if he does eventually go to MLS, he'll be 35, 36 years old.
Which is still enough, but it's not,
It's not the same. That's not the Griezmann we want to see. No. We want to see the lively. They want to see him, you know, doing blackface for Halloween. No. This is the crazy Griezmann.
Harlem Globetrotters. You're one of them, dude.
You know, he's a wow man. Yeah, yeah. So, no, it's just frustrating, but whatever.
I'm sure LAFC fans are pissed.
All right, what's next, Carter?
All right, next one here, staying in MLS. This, according to Fabrizio Romano, Chicago Fire are strongly interested and are starting conversations with Kevin De Bruyne to join Chicago Fire.
Yeah, okay.
Does this seem likely? Could this happen?
Look, they got Bastian Schweinsteiger in Chicago.
In that updated news, exclusive, Christian Polanco is severely interested in Dua Lipa. You know what I mean? Who cares?
She sees my messages. Yeah.
Did you see someone, a Mexican dude, DM'd Sydney Sweeney? He's like, yo, I heard you're single. Want to go out for tortas on Wednesday? If that works,
that's
bro,
basically
to you, my guy.
So, yeah.
I don't know if we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
But who said Chicago? You? Yeah, someone on the show said Chicago.
But just to add, our homie Pablo Maurer did write an article for The Athletic that there's a couple other teams that also have serious interest. So DC United, NYCFC, and there's another one I just forgot. But and Chicago, and obviously Inter Miami and stuff like that. So he has options.
I don't know if Chicago feels like the definitive landing place. This feels like maybe Fabrizio was asked to post this. You know what I mean?
All right.
Are we all catching what I'm... What I'm putting out there? You
what
feel
are you
me?
Suggesting exactly?
I'm like, just saying PR people are crazy these days, bro. Part of me just feels like, of course they're interested. Who isn't interested?
Right.
And who isn't trying to talk to him about an offer? The fact that Chicago doesn't feel like it's set.
Oh, I agree. But the fact that it's...
This might be, first of all, Chicago swings and misses with almost all their DBs. And second, except Cuauhtémoc Blanco. And second of all, this feels like good PR for Chicago.
Sure, they're in the conversation. Yeah. They have an open designated players slot. I get it. So, but we'll see. I mean, De Bruyne has options, and Chicago's obviously one of them.
I'd be surprised if he goes to Chicago.
All right, last but not least here, Virgil van Dijk gets a new contract. It's the same length as Mohamed Salah's, 2 years. Is this the right move? And what does this mean for Liverpool going into next season?
I do think it's the right move. I still think if you list like automatic re-signs, like player that's going to be of the same quality on a contract year versus the following year, it still feels to me like Mohamed Salah will prove to be a better signing long-term than Virgil van Dijk, because I feel like Virgil van Dijk, what he does is timeless. He's one of the greatest center backs in the history of the game. I think he knows, he puts himself in positions. He doesn't have stats because he doesn't need them because he's that good of a defender. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He doesn't have to tackle. He doesn't have to do those things. But I feel like over time, you're starting to see there's small cracks in his defending, and he has the last line of defense before a goalkeeper. So if he's just a little bit too slow, if he's a little bit overrun, if he makes that slight wrong decision, if his timing isn't perfect, all of a sudden it crumbles pretty quickly. And I think you're going to see that come maybe a little bit more than you'll see Mohamed Salah.
I strongly disagree. Even as an Everton fan, I think Virgil van Dijk is one of the, again, like you said, greatest defenders.
I'm talking about like small changes.
If I was a Liverpool fan, I don't even worry a little bit.
It's also really only 2 years. You might not even see that.
Virgil to me is Dural Revis. Revis Island, meaning... No, you don't even play the ball to whoever he's marking. There are so few players like that in this league, in this sport, that automatic, you got to resign him.
There's
give
zero
him as
reason
much as you
to
can.
Not resign him. Yeah, I'm just saying if there's like a tiny asterisk, it's that.
Okay. Yeah. But so, yes, clearly the right move. he is the foundation. He's the captain of that team. All right. Rapido Reactions, another one in the books. Thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. We appreciate y'all. Hit the like button if you have not yet. How could you have not
yet? If you watched this long and you haven't hit that like button, bro, you crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing with your mouse? Get rid of your mouse.
Yeah.
You don't even need a mouse.
Use your finger.
Okay. Or trackpad, whatever you use.
What you got, bro?
Because the battery life on your mouse is doing fantastic.
Yeah. I love it. We're talking to only people on desktops.
Okay. So thank you again for tuning in. Make sure you hit the subscribe button if you have not yet. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify as well. You can always join our Patreon as well, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Finally, I put up the episode, the new series. So it's called TST Film Study. This is going over my TST matches. And the first guest I did the show with was Taylor Rockwell. So you can go to our Patreon and check that out right now. You can watch the game back and go through all my analysis of my, you know, contributions on the pitch.
What a huge shock that Christian decides to make content out of forcing you to watch him play soccer. What a huge shock.
You want to see some good football? Yeah. You watch Christian Polanco on the pitch, all right? And we break it all down.
Ridiculous. So I got an idea for a series. You watch me play soccer.
Taylor crushed it. It was great.
Taylor did crush it. Yeah, also, I mean, this is what he does to his wife and his child. And now you're involved.
So you're more than welcome. So go join the Patreon today. All right. We're going to be back on Monday with Brad Stuver this time.
Allegedly.
Okay. Yeah. See if Carter spills the beans again. But no. Make sure you tune in on Monday for that. All right. Have a good weekend. Enjoy whatever matches your teams are playing in. Yeah. And as always, I hope all
Isn't it a holiday this weekend?
Is it Easter? No. Oh, it's Easter. Yeah, there are games.
But if you celebrate Easter, happy Easter.
A game doesn't stop for religion.
How about this? Yo, if you celebrate Easter, hit the like button. If you don't celebrate Easter, hit the like button. Exactly. Three or four times, bro.
Okay. All right. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.